would be a better wide receiver, Steph Curry or Klay Thompson? Go.
Brown gravy too, like that's a thing. Like if you're gonna put gravy on your fries, at least go with like a white gravy.
Brett Beach, he must have just been pounding Red Bulls.
What's up, draft nerds? Thanks for joining us today. My name is Kent Swanson. I'm one of the writers at Arrowhead Pride. This is the AP Chiefs draft show. We have a lot to talk about today. I'm joined as always by my co-host. You can find him on Twitter at Jacob Morley. Jake, what was your favorite move for your Packers this week?
Oh, I'm really stoked about Wilkerson coming in at $5 million a year. I think that's going to be a cool fit for them with Pettine being there. But we shall see. There's a reason he's not getting a long-term deal. So,
man, I really wanted the Chiefs to take a look at Mo Wilkerson. I think that one-year prove-it deal would have been awesome for them.
Yeah, I'm optimistic. And for the Chiefs, too, it's pretty cool. You know, what time did the league year start? 4 o'clock.
Yep,
they made so many moves. Like a lot of breaking news today. Like the Alex Smith trade happened at 4. Kendall Fuller at 4.
Our heads are just spinning.
A lot going on. Right at the start of the league new year, like the new league year. All that breaking news, pretty cool.
Oh, it's crazy, man. Just you know, all of a sudden, the Chiefs didn't have it. You know, they didn't have Alex Smith anymore. They didn't have Marcus Peters anymore. It's news to us.
He must have just been pounding Red Bulls.
Seriously.
I mean, that's a lot of work.
I don't know, man. It was good on him. So much going on. We're all still just processing all this breaking news. All seriousness, there's two new Chiefs to talk about. One is on the offensive side of the football. One's on the defensive side of the football. The first one is Sammy Watkins. I'm stunned by this move. He's still 24 years old. A lot of upside there still, and he's now playing with a quarterback that is perfect for his skill sets. What do you think about him, Jake?
I think there's a lot, and I tweeted this out, a lot of ifs about him. Can he stay healthy? Can he live up to that potential that made him a top five draft pick? But what I said was the Chiefs are clearly taking their shot.
Absolutely. And I personally, for me, like the idea of trying to defend Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill on opposite sides of the football with Travis Kelce working in the middle of the field. Like, I don't know how you defend that.
You got to have a good defense. Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of it hinges too on it. Is Patty going to be good?
Yeah.
If he's not, who cares?
Well, they've given him every opportunity to be good because they've got all the offensive weapons they could possibly need. I was kind of surprised by the figures.
Yeah, you got paid.
You know, I wrote on Arrowhead Pride last week that two guys I think would be really interesting for the Chiefs to take would be either Allen Robinson or Sammy Watkins. But it was kind of on the premise that Sammy Watkins would make less than Allen Robinson. There's more production from Allen Robinson. I know he's coming off the injury, but I was just kind of surprised by that.
Same. Because I think Allen Robinson is probably a better receiver right now, and he's getting paid $2 million plus a year.
He's more proven.
Coming off a major knee injury, too, I think that might scare teams. And I don't know. Free agency's crazy. Like, I feel like teams are just throwing darts at a wall and just throwing money around.
Yep.
And they are, but it's been wild. And it's been especially crazy this offseason.
Yeah, it's been a really bizarre offseason, just like so many things happening at the same time. And the Chiefs have been right in the middle of it. And it's been fun. I mean, it has been fun. I mean, like when the Alex Smith thing happened, I was freaking out. Like kind of not really available to like be super active on Twitter when it happened. So I was like, part of me was just like freaking out a little bit because I was just really wanting to see what was going on because it was just chaos and it was just moving a million miles an hour. This offseason's been a blast. It's been crazy. And Sammy Watkins coming onto the Chiefs, that was a big move. The other move they made was to help fortify their defense. Anthony Hitchens is now a Chief. He's an inside linebacker, going to play next to Reggie Ragland. Do you have anything to add?
I don't really know a ton about Hitchens, honestly, other than, the Packers played them last year, and that was kind of Aaron Jones' like coming out party, and he had like a really good 130-yard game. So, but then I also saw Pro Football Focus said he's good, so he must be really good. I don't know. I don't know a ton about the guy though.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with him. I think he's gonna be fine. The Chiefs wouldn't have invested so much in him if they didn't think he was gonna be good.
Yeah, no team has ever paid a bunch of money to a guy.
Okay, fine, sure, okay, yeah, okay, fair enough, whatever. We'll see. I do trust Brett Veach a great amount, and maybe I'm just blind to the moves I've seen so far, but we'll see. So the Chiefs have lost Albert Wilson. They've lost Zach Fulton. And they surprisingly lost Terrence Mitchell, which was enough to put him on the compensatory formula. So if you don't know how that works, basically Sammy Watkins and Anthony Hitchens offset the contract signings of Albert Wilson and Zach Fulton. But somehow Terrence Mitchell got a 3-year, $12 million deal from John Dorsey and the Packers.
Corners have been getting stupid money in the first 3 hours of free agency.
I mean, yeah, only 3 hours.
But so yeah, no, some of the number, like Tremaine Johnson getting $64 million or whatever he got,
I think it was 75.
Absurd. Like, yeah. He's a good player that's getting paid like a great player.
It's crazy. It's nuts. Like, so much money's being thrown out there, and Terrence Mitchell's no joke. You know, like, it's the same thing. The Chiefs are currently projected to get a 6th-round compensatory pick. That could very well change by the time this episode airs, but I just think that's just bizarre that a guy that was kind of off the radar was actually getting paid enough to be a part of the formula right now. So that's interesting. So we're going to talk about some draft prospects today still. This is still the AP Chiefs Draft Show. We're still focused on the draft. And we've got several prospects to talk about this week. One of them we're going to talk about was profiled on Arrowhead Pride this week. His name's Justin Reed. He's a safety from Stanford. We're actually going to talk about some local prospects, guys that from local schools or maybe went to a local high school. You might know who I'm talking about potentially there. But first, Jake, we haven't talked about Justin Reed at all, though, so this is kind of new to us. Jake just got done watching Justin Reed. I've been on him for a week or two. If you don't know who Justin Reed is, he's a safety from Stanford. He's an early entry junior, and he's the brother of free agent safety Eric Reed, which has kind of been a name that's been thrown around a lot here in Kansas City as a guy that that might potentially be able to come onto the Chiefs. Jake, I want to know a little bit about what you think about this guy. I haven't heard anything about your opinion at this point, so I'm kind of curious what you think.
Well, when I watched him, I was like, man, this guy tested super, super well at the combine. Very good athlete. I don't know about his instincts. When I watched him, I thought, you know, he lines up in the slot a lot, which is cool. And he's really dangerous from the slot, like as a blitzer. He can just absolutely destroy a running back and get to the quarterback. He's done it. Super fluid athlete. Can turn and run. There's a reason he tested so well. It shows up on the field. He looks most natural, I think, in the box. His change of direction is really good. He lined up at slot. He lined up a little bit deep. He was even playing some linebacker for Stanford, which is cool. Now, that's what I like about him. But like I kind of alluded to, his instincts kind of scare me a little bit. I think a lot of times you can see him getting manipulated quite a bit by the quarterback. There are times where he looks completely lost in coverage. Against Utah, if you go to 120 against Utah, he does like a full circle just in the middle of the field and ends up chasing to the sideline. That's weird to me to see a guy do that. I think he takes himself out of a lot of plays because of that. As far as a tackler too, he's over 200 pounds. He's like 208, 207. He's well built. You can tell by looking at him. He's really well put together. He's kind of an ankle biter as a tackler. And one other thing about him. So with him and any other defensive back, I get really excited when I'm watching them and I watch them defend like a bunch formation, because you really get to see, okay, what type of route recognition do they have? And the couple times I saw him do that just didn't look clean.
I'm with you on a lot of that stuff, actually. However, I think I do trust his instincts a little bit more than you do. I think he's an outstanding athlete. I think he does pretty good in a variety of different roles. I don't think he's a box safety, although I think he could do it, if that makes sense. Like, I don't think that's what he's going to wind up doing. But in the nickel, deep, I like him in a lot of different alignments all over the field. I do agree with some of your issues here. I thought he got lost on rub routes a lot. Did mm-hmm. you see that?
Yeah, he does.
And you know, I do agree with some of your stuff with regards to, you know, being struggling, you know, in kind of bunch sets and stuff like that, because he did kind of get lost. Actually, I think he struggled against play action too. I think he was a little bit late to react to
that's
play
what,
action.
And that's what I mean by like being manipulated. Like, and you can see quarterbacks will look him off quite a bit, but he bites on that stuff.
I think most of that kind of happened when he was closer to the line uh-huh. of scrimmage though. So like if you're planning on using him kind of down like at the line of scrimmage, like I don't think that's his most the best place to put him. I think the farther away from the football he is, he's probably better. And I like him in the nickel for the most part, you know, again, except for kind of in traffic, there was some stuff he was struggling with. But I think he can play a lot of alignments, and I think his athleticism shows up on the field. I really like him as a prospect. I have a near round one grade on this guy. The athletic testing pushed that up a little bit. I kind of had it as like a mid second round pick, but there's a bump you can get for incredible athletic testing, and Justin Reed got that. I gave him an 86.3, which is an early second. What did you have on him?
I have an 80.5, which is a third round grade. I like him. I think he can develop, but he does some stuff that just really scares me. Yeah.
And I think some of those things might be a little bit coachable, and like here's one thing I do think, like some teams, like you talk about, you know, being able to use a guy's skill sets and magnify a guy's what a guy can do and then kind of limit what he can't. I think some of the things that we've talked about here are things that you can fix or you can keep him from having to do. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. And well, I guess I was excited to watch him because like just looking at his numbers, I kind of thought he'd be like a single high type guy. And he wasn't really used that much.
Stanford, I think he could do it though.
Maybe, but there's a couple of times too where if he was playing deep, he was really late to get there. And I didn't have the all 22 on him, so I don't really know why. But even with that 4.4 speed, he still is a step or two late getting over there. So that's kind of where I start to think, okay, is his route recognition off? Does he need to play more, or is it just something that just isn't natural for him?
Yeah.
So that's my biggest concern with him. And that's why I said I think he does a lot of things well, but the most impressed I was with him was when he was when he was near the line of scrimmage. Hmm.
Interesting. That's actually kind of where I didn't like him. I do agree with you. I don't think he's like a particularly strong hitter. Like, I don't think he's kind of an ankle biter. He's just kind of a get you down kind of tackler, which is okay. I mean, you can get away with that. But yeah, that's interesting. Kind of having split grades, and literally, that's the first I kind of heard your takes on Eric Reese.
Well, I do like him in the slot though. Like that's my first notice. He's a dangerous blitzer from the slot.
He did blitz well. He did blitz well.
He's got a good feel for that.
I think it's just kind of like his spatial awareness is strong. He struggles a little bit with his spatial awareness when he's close to the line of scrimmage, but I think as a blitzer, that's, you know, an easy place for him to use his athleticism. So okay, so that's a guy that I have profiled on Arrowhead Pride. You can find it there right now. There's a GIF there. There's, you know, more information, kind of a different take on him. You can find there on Arrowhead Pride. We're gonna talk today primarily about local prospects, and it's guys that have been to local high school or local college one guy that actually went to a local high school, and we're going to start there. It's Braden Smith. It's a guard from Auburn. He's 6'6", 315 pounds, and if you guys follow college football, there's a writer named Bruce Feldman that does the annual freak list. He basically profiles 20, 30, 40 guys that are athletic freaks for a variety of reasons, and Braden Smith made that list. He's an Olathe South graduate, and so he is technically a local kid. I'm really intrigued by him. Jake, what do you think about him?
I really liked him the first time I watched him. I almost thought after watching him the first time, could this guy play tackle? But then looking at some of his measurables at the combine, I think he's best at guard, and I think he can be a really good guard in the league. So his punch is really good. He's got a little bit of nasty to him. So there's like things you'll hear about this guy is like in the Auburn weight room, the coaches would have to scale him back like on his squat racks. Yep. And stuff, because he's just too strong. And some guys are really strong and it doesn't show up on the field, but one note I have about him is he's got really good functional strength. I mean, he moves people. There's a reason Kerryon Johnson kind of burst onto the scene and they were running all over people, and that's because Brayden Smith was right in the middle of their line, kind of leading the way on that.
Yeah, man, I agree fully with that take. Some of the things I liked about him is, like, when some guys are pulling, when some guards have to pull, it's kind of an effort, and he pulls so effortlessly, and he actually like keeps his shoulders like parallel to the line of scrimmage all times. Like, he's just such a free mover when you're asked to kind of put him in, you know, kind of put him on the move. I really like that, and I think he's just got outstanding strength and pretty good athleticism overall. He actually got a very high grade, a high percentile score when it came to his athletic testing. Like, his spark score was pretty high.
Yeah, and I think he's a guy that's going to be really scheme versatile too. He can fit if you want to run a zone scheme. He's athletic enough to run that. He's strong enough and powerful enough if you're just kind of a ground and pound mashing type team, which there's not really many out there like that anymore. But I think he can do whatever you want him to do. He's going to be, you know, he'll probably be a second, third round pick. Mm-hmm. Probably someone that's not going to be talked a lot about, but he's going to make a team really happy.
Well, you know, I think he gets a little bit overshadowed by the likes of Will Hernandez and Isaiah Wynn. I have those guys graded slightly higher, but not by much. This guy, I think, has just outstanding athletic traits, and he gives outstanding effort. I think he's a guy that can develop nicely in an NFL system as he goes along. He's not really particularly consistent. I don't consider him a technician necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like, he's still developing his ability and his craft. But he's another one of those guys, especially in the second round, where you bank on athletic traits like that.
Yeah, and so the biggest red flag with him is he didn't look great against Clemson, which that front four made a lot of people look, you know, not very good because they're incredible. But, you know, so that's something. You know, he's going to be playing like against guys like that in the NFL next year. Like you said, he can be inconsistent. Like, his hand placement isn't always the best. Sometimes he fires up a little bit high on the shoulder pads. He's not quite into people like he should be. Sometimes he fires out a little bit low. So, I mean, he's got stuff, but it's coachable stuff. It's stuff that he's going to fix. And I think with his type of effort in the weight room, he seems like a guy that's very coachable. He seems like a guy that's going to come in and take coaching really well.
Right.
So I would fully expect him to be a starting guard in the NFL for a long time.
Well, I think that's kind of where we're at in the NFL right now as far as offensive linemen. Guys aren't developing at a high rate, and they're not coming into the NFL with a strong technical skill set yet. They're having to be developed. So when you're looking at offensive linemen, me specifically, one of the things I've kind of resigned to that fact that they're going to have to develop whatever offensive linemen that they bring in. Like, there's not a ton that are coming in, so you just need to find guys that show an ability to do it, that show a willingness to work, that give great effort and have athletic traits. And I think some level of football awareness is, you can kind of pick up some of that when you're watching tape. I felt pretty comfortable with Brayden Smith in that regard.
Yeah, and he's playing, you know, I hate to say it, but he's playing in the SEC, and he's probably playing against some of the most athletic big men in the country, and he's holding his own.
Yeah, and that's another point.
He's more than holding his own, really.
He's getting to go up against elite talent. I have an 86.4 on him. That is an early second round grade, and I am adding Brayden Smith to the draft miss list. He's going on. He's a guy I would be completely comfortable with the Chiefs taking. I think he might be a candidate in the second round. You never know how they're going to go with this draft.
It's a deep guard class, though.
Well, that's something that's going to be interesting in general, is just what positions get taken where in this draft, because I've been banging on this drum a lot recently. I think there's going to be a player that the Chiefs are going to be surprised is there at 54, and it just depends on the runs at what position that are that happen, because you could see if there's a run on quarterbacks, if there's a run on tackles, if there's a run on maybe offensive guards, somebody's going to fall to the Chiefs, and it's going to be someone that we're not really completely expecting is going to be there.
Hey, five quarterbacks are going in the top 10.
Five?
That's what I keep hearing.
Oh my! Okay.
I hope so.
We'll probably talk about quarterbacks at one point. I don't know how five don't deserve to go. Let's just say that.
Maybe one.
I actually only have one first round grade on a quarterback right now.
It's a teaser. That's a teaser for the quarterbacks
episode. Yeah, we'll probably talk about quarterbacks at some point because we got to run these guys up against Pat Mahomes, and that'll be fun for me. And we'll get there eventually. But another guy that we need to talk about a little bit is DJ Reed. He's a corner safety, kind of just a defensive back from Kansas State, 5'9", 188 pounds, kind of an undersized guy. Jake, what's your take on him?
I really like DJ Reed. He's just so short. Like, you know, that's going to knock him. I think he's going to be such good value for someone, though, because nobody wants a 5'9 corner. Nope. And he's going to be there in the third or fourth round. Someone's going to pick him, and they're going to, oh, shoot, this guy's good at football. He moves so well. He's sticky. He's one of those guys that he's just in the hip pocket always. His change of direction's awesome. He's got good quickness. His speed is good. I actually like how he throws his body around too in the UCLA game. The UCL team. No, the Bruins.
Is that like Tommy John surgery? That's Tommy John surgery.
The UCL is located in, yes, the left elbow. UCLA, he actually tackled an O lineman, which was awesome because like something weird happened. He got the ball and he went up there and got him down.
Yeah.
He's tough, stays in the hip pocket, like I said. His hand eye coordination is really good. He'll fight for that ball all the way down. He challenges the ball really well. He's also he's got special team value.
Yes.
Special teams value. He's a good punt returner.
And I think he's going to have to at the next level.
And I think, and maybe some potential there as a gunner as well. And I think that's what, like you said, he's going to have to kind of earn his stripes that way. But don't be surprised if DJ Reed has a really long, productive NFL career. He's just kind of one of those guys.
Yeah, I really like him. I do think the note I gave is like, I think he is a guy that gets the most out of his frame.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not concerned about his frame, but it's always going to be there. You can't coach him into a 6 foot tall corner. You're going to have to deal with some physical limitations that he does have. But I do like him a lot. I think, you know, a lot of the things you said rang true. I think he gives great effort. I think he's quick, and you can probably use him. You're going to be able to use him in the nickel, obviously. That's probably what he's going to get relegated to it would be my guess.
Yeah. No, he's not. I don't think there's any way he can play on the outside.
Yeah.
Because he gets manhandled by bigger receivers.
He does. He struggles against big guys, and that was definitely something that rang true. Although, he was scrappy. He was trying. He was really trying to, but it's just, it definitely is something that he's going to struggle with. I value him. I think he's a guy the Chiefs should consider in the fourth round. I gave him a 72, which is a fourth round grade. Some people talk about like athletic thresholds. Some teams have athletic thresholds that will keep DJ Reed off of their board. And those teams could wind up regretting that decision.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason they have those thresholds. 5'9" corners aren't going to hit as much. And so that's just the thing. You just don't want to deal with them, but
it's going to take somebody special for some teams to make exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know if the Chiefs have athletic thresholds the same way some teams do. I think with Dorsey, they did have some. I don't know what they were, but
Dorsey, I'm sure Dorsey kind of falls in that Ron Wolf tree, though, as well, because Dorsey never took a corner under 5'10". And that was that's a big Ron Wolf thing. That
was 5'10". What
5'10"?
Is that a Ron Wolf?
They took Terrell Buckley in the first round over what's his face from Wisconsin, and he was 5'10". Buckley was, and he didn't pan out, and that was like the thing. Like, nope, not taking him anymore. And it's pretty much rang true. Like Thompson doesn't do it. Gutekunst isn't going to do it now. He's already stated that. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if Dorsey had those thresholds. Veach, I don't know.
We'll find out. And yep. I'm putting DJ Reed on the draft miss list. I value him as a fourth round guy. Anything after that, too. Like, I mean, I think that's value. So he's a guy I'm definitely taking a look at. One of his teammates we're going to talk about, too, is Byron Pringle. 6'1", 205 wide receiver from Kansas State. He's going to be 25 years old as a rookie, kind of an older prospect. Really, really good story, though. I mean, he had a, like a long criminal record coming into college, and I think he was on like a 4-year probation. He's kind of overcome that and kind of turned his life around, and now is getting an opportunity to play in the NFL. And he's kind of made some headlines the last couple of days because he tested outstanding at his pro day. I think he ran in the 4.3s, some people are saying.
He's fast.
He's very fast.
Shows up.
Jake, what do you like about him?
I mean, he averaged over 20 yards a catch. He wasn't.
I think he was 25.
Yeah,
even.
He wasn't a high volume guy. And then you look at him, and he put up productive numbers with limited opportunities.
And I'm not here. I'm not here to knock on K-State or anything, because my team, Kansas, is like just hot garbage. But you're not getting very many opportunities at K-State to catch a football,
right? Yeah, and so yeah, so he made the most of them. He's also. Can we talk about his name for a second? Great name, Pringle. Maybe on the all name draft miss list, but
I don't. What's that about? I don't even like the name Pringle.
I like Pringles. You don't like Pringles?
I don't. Not enough to like. Eh. If his name was Byron Doritos, I'd be all in.
You're wrong for thinking that. So yeah, but see, he's smooth. He's definitely a vertical threat. I think he's very underdeveloped in his route tree. Outside of that, he's kind of a one-trick pony at this point, but he definitely has speed to take the top off. He's a guy that I think, you know, at 25, what scares you a little bit is, you know, physically, I guess he's there. He's got everything you want. Is he going to be able to kind of round out his route tree? So he's really quick. He has really quick feet at the line of scrimmage, but you'll notice he wastes a lot of movement.
Yes, I totally agree with that.
And the ability's there, but he is a bit of a project. And if you're taking a project, you typically want a guy that's 21, 22 years old.
Right.
So
I like him. Like, I do like him as a vertical threat. And obviously, he has the ability to win down the field. I thought, like, anything outside of vertical routes, he was kind of sluggish in and out of his breaks a little bit. Mm-hmm. And there's kind of, it is a narrow skill set, and it's a 25-year-old with a narrow skill set. And that's not, I mean, I don't dislike him as a prospect. I just don't value him where the Chiefs are at right now. That's not a guy I'm going to be super excited about the Chiefs taking. It's interesting, though, and there, I think he's going in, I think he's in Kansas City for a workout at some point this week. It might have already happened. He was going to his pro day, and he's going to spend some time working out for the Chiefs as well. So it does seem like he's a guy that they're taking a look at. I don't know if it's for special teams value or where they're kind of valuing him at.
Well, if you look at what the Chiefs are doing, they got Tyreek, they got Sammy, they got Kelsey, and so they want to push the ball down the field. So if you have the skill to do that, you know what, you got two solid guys in front of him, and really three, because Kelsey's just a big receiver anyways. So don't, you know, Pringle, come in here and run a vertical route. You know, let's have some packages for you and see if you can just be one more thing that a defense has to worry about and plan for.
I understand that. I just, like, you look at the guys behind Watkins and Hill, like DeMarcus Robinson, I think he's one of those kind of guys. Like, he's going to win on vertical routes. And J.U. Chesson remains to be seen. That's kind of where I'm just like, even as like a developmental or a small package guy, like, I'm not super excited about him. And it's not that I don't think he's a good football player. I gave him a fifth round grade. I still think he's a draftable prospect. He's just not a guy that I'm really hoping that the Chiefs invest draft capital in.
Sure. But do the Golden State Warriors ever turn down a guy that can shoot threes?
Man, yeah, no, that's true. That's true. He's probably going to be good on special teams too.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a setup for me to have to?
I know, I saw you tweeting about that or something.
Was this me having to explain my Golden State take?
Okay. You've been drinking some Kool-Aid, I think.
No. Here, I actually, Jake's not the only person that's giving me crap for that, because like, I've got a text thread of just getting roasted for that. I'm going to take a second to explain myself on the Golden State Warriors take. And if you don't know what that is, I basically said the Chiefs 2018 offense has a chance to be the Golden State Warriors. And here's my point. It's not even necessarily that they're going to lead the NFL in scoring. They're not going to just automatically turn into the 2001 Rams. I think the Chiefs have an opportunity to change how how football and offensive efficiency is done. And what I mean that is they've just got insane amounts of vertical threats now, and speed and home run and big play opportunities all over the field. And they've got a guy that's proven that he's able to do that.
So they're going to be the 2015 Arizona Cardinals?
Well, kind of. But I think they're even going to be more. I think there's a chance that they could be more vertically minded because you've got this young, raw quarterback that loves to do it. And this isn't Carson Palmer, who's disciplined and has been in a system forever. This is a guy that's like, he has this big play mentality, and he's got guys all over the field that can make big plays. So I almost think that they could change how offense is run. Like we could see a more vertically minded offense than we've ever seen, including the Bruce Arians Arizona Cardinals. It's in the range of outcomes. That's all I'm trying to say.
The only thing with that too is if you have a team that only shoots threes, it's really great when you're hitting them.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, that's fair. And who knows how much Andy Reid will creep into Mahomes. Like if there's going to be some power struggle on some of the more horizontally minded stuff mixed with the vertical mind. I'm just saying it's in the range of outcomes that they just try to flip offense on their head and create a new offensive efficiency kind of concept by being super intentional about getting the ball downfield. Sorry.
Cool. No, we need to move on, but I have one really quick question.
Okay.
Who would be a better wide receiver, Steph Curry or Klay Thompson? Go.
Steph Curry.
I think they both stink.
Well, yeah, no, that's a given. But I think Steph Curry, at least, like he's
LeBron.
How's LeBron creeping into this conversation? I don't even know. But sorry, I had to grandstand. I'd explain my offense take. My Mahomes led Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. Like I just think that's crazy. It's going to be so much fun. I can't wait. Sammy Watkins someone's going to benefit from that. It's going to be really fun to watch. Okay, we've got a couple more guys to talk about, and we're going to go to the east side of the of Arrowhead Stadium. We're going to talk about Jamon Moore. He's a receiver that has been getting some looks in the NFL as well. He's 6'3", 207 pounds. Jake, what's your thoughts on this guy?
He ran a really bad 40 time, but don't let that fool you. He's actually a pretty good athlete because he was like in the top percentile in about every other agility drill.
Yeah, his spark score was actually really high, mm-hmm. except for his 40 time.
Which is weird, but when you watch him, that's okay because that's not really what he can get deep in college. I mean, he's not going to have to, I don't think. I think he's going to be a 10 to 15 yard type of route runner in the NFL because he has a really good feel for the middle of the field. You'll see him just sit in spots and zones, which is cool to see because a lot of receivers will run themselves into coverage. He doesn't do that. I think he has a lot of potential as a route runner because of those three cone type things, those short shuttles. He's really shifty. He ran one of the slickest post corner routes you will see against Auburn.
I know what you're talking about.
And I don't remember. I have that in my notes, and I'm pretty sure he completely turned the Auburn corner around. It might have been Carlton Davis too. I don't know though. It might not have been, but it's pretty. Like if you have a chance to watch that, he's a body catcher. His hands are kind of they're okay. He struggled with drops. And if you talk to any Mizzou fan, they'll probably tell you the same thing. And because of him being a body catcher, he has a little bit of a limited catch radius. To me, he didn't show a ton of flexibility, meaning like he wasn't able to go down and get the ball or work the sideline very well, or I just didn't see it. So he needs to do a better job of extending his routes when his quarterback's in trouble. He's kind of slow off the line of scrimmage sometimes.
Yeah,
but
I'm with you.
There's stuff to work with.
I thought he won more like with vertical stem routes. Like that was kind of where I was more impressed with him. I don't think his quickness and stuff really shows up that much on tape compared to what he tested at. You know, like that was kind of something I was a little bit surprised. Like he's a good athlete. Like he proved that at the combine, but like I didn't see it completely translate in his route running ability. And you know, he's got a limited route tree because a lot of those the offenses like Missouri runs, and just he's kind of one of those guys that's going to have a limited route tree coming out of college too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's some upside to him as far as like what I want the Chiefs to be going after. He's not really someone like I'm looking forward, and I kind of want. I'm not putting him on the draft miss list, and it's not because he's not a decent football player. It's just not a guy I value the same way that others might. I have a sixth round grade on him. I think I don't know. I am still trying to figure him out. I'm probably going to go back and watch a little bit more tape, but right now he's not a guy I'm super high on. Wait, where'd you put him at?
I have a 72.5, which is a fifth round grade, fourth, fifth-ish.
Okay.
I don't know.
I get you. Like it's kind of hard to kind of. He's been one I've really struggled to value. And it's just like I'm trying to like I always try like with any prospect at any position I'm always trying to fit them into what I see the Chiefs doing, and it's like I don't know if he's bringing something unique that the Chiefs don't already have on their roster. It's kind of the same way with Byron Pringle. Like what value are we adding here? I don't know if he's going to be that great of a special teams guy either. Just kind of
he's strong. Like I mean he's pretty strong with the ball in his hands. There's a couple times where he'd run people over, and he's kind of got that mentality of kind of a hoss with the ball in his hands. So I like that. That's probably my favorite thing about him is his strength. He reminds me a little bit of like a James Jones type with
that's actually a real I like that
with
I like
worse
that comp.
Hands though. That's and James Jones struggled with drops too.
That's probably a pretty good comp. Actually, honestly, and like probably not. I don't think his production is going to be James Jones by any stretch of the word, but like that is probably a pretty good comp.
Like not, you know, they're not gonna beat you deep. You're not scared of their deep speed, but you know that 10 to 15 yard area, they can kind of body up people and bully corners a little bit and move the chains for you.
Yeah, he's vertical stems, like you know, not necessarily go routes. I mean, it's just more anything off of vertical stems, nothing, no quick change of direction stuff. No, that makes sense, man. I'm not putting him on the draft miss list, but you know, he's gonna have a shot to make it on an NFL roster. I don't think it's with the Chiefs. One more prospect to talk about this week, and it's a guy that you probably are all very familiar with at this point, because he's been making a lot of news. His name's Nathan Shepard. He's from Fort Hays State in Kansas, and 6'4", 315 pounds. He's from Ontario, Canada. How about that, eh?
Yeah, so he loves to sack quarterbacks and put gravy on his fries.
That brown gravy, too. Like, that's a thing. Like, if you're going to put gravy on your fries, at least go with, like, a white gravy.
You put gravy on your potatoes.
Yeah, it doesn't work the same for me. Like, if I go to Dairy Queen, I'm getting that white gravy, and I'm dipping everything in it.
Yep.
My toast, my fries, my chicken, my milkshake, all of it. It's all going in there.
Dip cone. That's Kent's DQ dip cone. Dip that in that gravy, please.
Yeah. But no, I'm not a brown gravy guy. Sorry, I digress. He's an older prospect. He's gonna be 25 in his rookie year.
These older,
I know,
local guys.
This is kind of a weird year. There's like several old prospects, and old prospects aren't typically like where I don't really like old prospects typically. Hint, I like this one. Just real quick, a little backstory on Nathan Shepard. He started out at a school in Canada, Simon Fraser College. Couldn't afford it, so he had to take a year off and try to go work some odd jobs to save up. Went to Kansas. Goes from Canada, from Ontario to Kansas, I don't know if they're okay. If anybody in Hays, Kansas is listening to us, please tweet us at Kent_Swanson Jacob Morley. I just want to know if someone's out there. I think that would be really funny if someone is. Please feel free to reach out. I'm not knocking on your city.
I work with the guy that went to Fort Hays State.
Did you really?
Big Nathan Shepard fan.
Yep. My offensive coordinator in high school was actually a coach at Fort Hays State for a while. So
football, you?
Yeah, man. Yeah, well, they're about to be on the map even more here at the draft. Anyway, so he walked on at Fort Hays State and obviously earned his stripes there and got opportunities, got a scholarship. And Jake, this guy, he was a man child at the Division II level.
Yes. He's mean.
Yes.
He wants the O-line to know where he is at every single play. Like the very first snap I watched, they ran like an outside sweep, and he clearly wasn't going to get there. He turned around and just put his hands into the chest of the O-lineman and put him on his butt.
That's
just,
awesome.
Just because. Like, hey, I'll be here all day.
That was something I liked about him. Like, I just thought he, like, the first note I wrote about Nathan Shepard was just violent hands.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just physically imposing, just violent hands. And he gives outstanding effort. Like, I've seen so many times, like, he was just diving at guys' ankles just to try to make a play on him. And he had success doing it. Like, he was just all over the field trying to get, you know, stop runners as quickly, you know, as many times as he possibly could. It was really impressive to watch. Anything else? Like, what else did you like about him?
With his hands, too, what's interesting is when we were at the combine watching him, there's a couple guys that really stood out with their hands because you just hear them pop in the pads. He's one of them.
Yep.
Harrison Phillips was another one for me that's just, even where we were sitting,
you could just hear
the echo of it.
Yep.
And so they, like, he wants the O-lineman to know where he's at. He wants those pads to know that he's smacking them. But he's good. He's good. He's got a lot of natural flexibility, too, in his hips and knees. He's definitely like a natural knee bender. He needs to do that more consistently. Consistently, but he does it. There are times, especially at the D2 level, where he'll just toss an O-lineman and make a play on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But he needs to be playing behind his pads to do that because and one of my negatives is I think he's developed some bad habits because he's played at a level probably where he can get away with stuff
absolutely.
Like that. So he plays a little bit high and because he can do it. You know, you see him playing high, tossing guys and making plays, but he's absolutely lethal when he's behind his pads. I mean, he does what he wants to do and he just needs to do that all the time.
Yeah, and like that's all true. One other thing, like I talk about his violent hands, I just wish he was able to use his violent hands better because he was just very inconsistent with his technique. And I think obviously, yeah, that comes from being a Division II mm-hmm. football player. Like,
and I think we probably both, and it's funny because we actually haven't really talked about him either, and we're agreeing on most of this because I have good initial punch, but it stalls there.
Yeah.
It was a negative on him. His hands are underdeveloped, but having those heavy hands, that's kind of something that you can't really teach. It's just one of those things. Like, some guys are just that way.
Right.
And he's one of them. And I value that quite a bit when I watch defensive linemen, and he possesses that. So I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah. And I, you know, the things that he struggles with are all fixable. Like, mm-hmm. he's got the athletic traits. He's dense. He's powerful. He's got powerful hands. He's got the mentality to do it. It's just a matter of becoming consistent. He did some good things at the Senior Bowl.
I was just going to say that, you know, I think he's the guy that rises to the occasion too, because at the Senior Bowl, I think a lot of the stuff that we're talking about as far as negatives, I think he figured it out real quick. Like, I'm not playing D2 football anymore. Like,
right.
I need to do this consistently. I need to make sure I'm playing with good pad level and firing out and making sure I'm not popping up in my stance right away, because that was he was the darling of the Senior Bowl.
A lot of people liked him before he broke his hand. He broke his hand at the Senior Bowl, which is crazy. Like, that sucks for him because it was going to be an opportunity for him to get a lot more exposure. You know, the thing is though, like, yes, he definitely did rise to the occasion. However, like, there's still, even though he performed well at the Senior Bowl, you still, like, there still should be some concern about the level of play he was up against, because he hasn't had a ton of reps against guys that are more nuanced. Yes, he did some really good things at the Senior Bowl. I still do, like, the transition still is not going to be easy, even though he got an exposure like that, because guess what? The offensive guard from Maine that's there at the Senior Bowl, yeah, he might get drafted, but there's guys that have been doing this for a mm-hmm. long time that are more technically proficient and have more understanding and feel for what they're doing. So it's still going to be a learning curve for him, even though he did some really good things and some impressive things at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Well, yeah, no, and I give him a third round grade. I have a 76.2 on him.
I have an 81, so I'm a little bit higher than you on him.
Oh, wow. That's like an early third round grade.
Yep. Yep. And I think, you know, I honestly think that's where he ends up. I think a lot of people are really high on this guy.
I've seen some people put him in the 50s, like mm-hmm. in the second round. I think I might have seen him mock to the Chiefs at one point.
That makes sense.
Yeah, he's a guy, like, he would fit perfectly. I mean, if the Chiefs wanted to invest in him, he's a guy that I think would make a lot of sense for the Chiefs. If he was there in the third round, I would absolutely take a look at him. He's going on the draft miss list. I'll tell you that much. And this is kind of a different thing for me. I typically struggle to value older prospects the same way I value other position or other age groups, just because I really like the idea of having a guy younger. When you're coming to that second contract, there's a little bit like less upside, not just as far as developmental, but also just like as your ability to kind of hit on a long-term
Sammy Watkins player. Is 24.
Exactly.
In his second contract.
We know that Nathan Shepard's going to be 25 during his rookie year. I really want to know like if he's older than Sammy Watkins or not. I just out of curiosity.
Or Byron Pringle. That's same. They're the same age.
Well, actually, the article I wrote kind of talking about Allen Robinson and Sammy Watkins, I mentioned like Byron Pringle is going to be 25 his rookie year. That's the same kind of thing as same kind of age as Allen Robinson and Sammy Watkins are at now. And those guys have been developed in an NFL system for several years. So, I still do value Nathan Shepard. I think he's a guy I'm very interested in. He's going to take some time to develop. I would be absolutely happy if it's here in Kansas City, even though he's an older guy, looking at him as a third round grade. So that's it for prospects this week. We do have a scouting term of the week.
Jake, everybody's favorite,
Jake.
Appreciate all the tweets that we've gotten about being body beautiful or being proud of your bubble.
Yeah, no. So some people have been like, someone used both in the same tweet.
Really impressive. So the scouting term of the week. This one goes out to friend of the podcast, Joe Thomas of the Cleveland Browns. I'm trying to get him on, but we'll see. But the scouting term of the week is Dancing Bear. And what that means is you are a very large man that can move your feet really well, and you can shadow defenders. And when you're out there playing offensive tackle, you look somewhat like a bear. That's dancing.
I hate to bring up Dontari Poe again in back-to-back weeks. As far as last week we talked about Dontari Poe's bubble, this week he's a dancing bear. He's like the definition of a dancing bear. Just a freakish athlete that's just giant. And I'm trying to think who's Nathan Shepard's kind of a dancing bear.
He's kind
bear,
of a
actually.
Dancing bear. I think in this draft class, because I typically equate that to like offensive linemen, just because of the way they get into their sets and stuff like that. So I think, you know, probably the best example in this is probably Quentin Nelson.
Yep.
Just because even though he's not that tackle, that he's out kind of in space, he's just big and athletic, and
he's a monster.
He's a bear.
Here's the thing. Like, we're never gonna get to talk about Quentin Nelson except for right now, just because
he's gone.
There's like next to no chance he's a Kansas City Chief. Although I would freak out if he was.
Laremy Tunsil, like, who knows?
Yeah,
man.
Maybe Quentin Nelson will get caught with like a bong mask or whatever that was.
Tunsil's still in the top 10, so.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Well, I don't know where
he was. I don't think he fall
to 50 or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, there's like no feasible scenario where Quentin Nelson's going to be a Chief. But he's a dancing bear. Dontari Poe's a dancing bear. I think Nathan Shepard's kind of a dancing bear.
Don't forget about friend of the podcast, Joe Thomas of the Cleveland. Hey, happy retirement, buddy.
Happy retirement to Joe Thomas. You've earned whatever you've gotten being on such a miserable team. You know, he never started a season 1-0.
He never played in a playoff game, too.
Did he
play when they had Derek Anderson Braylon Edwards, like that one year that they were pretty good?
He probably did.
Yeah.
Because that was probably pretty early.
He never won a playoff game, I'm sure. Poor guy.
That poor guy.
First ballot Hall of Famer, though.
2023
sure.
Hall of Fame.
Yep. No doubt about it.
Yeah, man. That's it for us today, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We'll have more prospects to talk about next week, and it's kind of a gear shift towards the NFL draft. Really starting next week, people are going to start be kind of focusing a little bit more. It's the next big thing on the calendar.
Boards will be set.
Yep,
in free agency,
and we'll be here to talk more about prospects. Thanks again for listening, and we will catch you guys later.